Hello and welcome, brother friends. This is Reconsidering WCW Nitro. I'm Dr. Damien Gibson. And joining me, as always, is the man who only deals in kayfabe and has been knighted for that service to kayfabe. It's Sir Matthew Kayfabe.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
I hope that one day you'll feel confident in yourself enough and confident in our listeners to be able to handle the peaks and troughs of real life, and you'll answer like, oh, look, it's been a difficult week this week, actually. But, you know, I'm not saying that has to happen now, and I don't want to put pressure on you. Like, maybe you are actually good today. I don't know. I hope you are.
I'm all right. I gave up my weekend for my mum, so I feel like a half-decent human being. It's Mother's Day in Australia as we record this, so there's been plenty of years where I haven't. So, I don't feel like a complete monster today, so I actually feel quite good. Is that in-depth an answer enough?
Yeah, no. I think that's good. And I think just, you know, I think it implies
that's actually too much, usually... Damien. We need to back off. Abort.
Yeah, so, something your mother should have said. she's probably very happy.
There's about 14 ex-girlfriends who would absolutely agree with that statement, Matthew.
what a humble brag.
It is a little bit, yeah.
14
really,
ex-girlfriends
really,
and still a virgin.
Really, slice it and dot. Yeah, I know, right? Amazing. Well, I'm very strong-willed. They were constantly like, come on, Damien, give it to me. And I was like, no, not until marriage.
I don't know what it is, but it's mine.
I don't know what you want me to give you. And I don't think I have it.
Sex education in Australian schools has always been enormously underwhelming.
Yeah, I was a relatively okay little sportsman, so I was never at school. So I didn't learn anything, you know.
Well, that's fair.
I just learned that if you're interested in a woman, you just whip your dick out, right? Like Ric Flair.
That is legitimately, I mean, not legitimately, but it is pretty similar to what happens in this episode. At one point, Ric Flair ogles Miss Elizabeth in the most cancelable fashion.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, character consistency goes, Ric Flair was on TV 6 months ago in 2020 being this exact same character. Like, this is actually phenomenal. It's nearly 30 years.
True. 40, right? Didn't he start late 70s, early 80s? He's been the same character. Or was he not that character?
Well, then? I think realistically women might have wanted to have sex with him back then.
You reckon?
But like, they're certainly not now.
Like, no.
And by now, I mean 1996. He's actually more attractive now than he is in 2021 than he is in 1996. In 1996, he was disgusting.
Remember when he was wearing that hot tuna shirt, though? That pink hot tuna shirt. Remember that episode of Nitro?
I remember.
Where he just completely dropped the Ric Flair gimmick for no reason, just was walking around in a surf shirt.
I think that sort of happens as we go on. I think he becomes increasingly less. He sort of goes through a midlife crisis.
Oh, God,
in front
I
of
hope
us.
So I'm hanging out for midlife crisis, Rick, because I fucking hate. This Ric Flair. I hate him. I know there'll be people who will be like, well, then he's doing his job well. But it's not. It's X-Pac hate, man.
Want him to go away.
It's Miz hate. It's not. I'm not like.
I like the Miz. I'm pro Miz.
You and our friend David that I keep mentioning on the podcast that none of our listeners will know who he is, but I keep talking about him like they should know who he is. Both love the Miz. I just can't. It's like.
I think you're a pure baby face. Like, I think that's the thing. I think you are like Bret Hart and Daniel Bryan.
The best. Thanks, man.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, you're podcasting and neither of them have any kind of... The Bret Hart and Daniel Bryan podcast will be deeply painful. Your technical ability is phenomenal.
What's that, Daniel? Wrestling. Me too. The end.
Brett wouldn't be like me too. Brett would be like, yeah, well, I love it in, like, I love, like, 1992, my match against Psycho Sid that no one thought I could get a good match out of him, but I got the best match of his career, and even he admits that. You know, that was just my own talent. Anyway, fuck Bret Hart.
Hey, Brett was on Instagram today getting people to get vaccinated in Canada.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, he's doing good work.
What's his problem with people getting vaccinated elsewhere?
Well, he's like Canadian, only he lives in Canada, and supposedly there's vaccine hesitancy in Canada.
So I mean, there sort of is everywhere. Please get a vaccine.
If you can.
We can't.
If so, it's available to you, we can't.
We probably shouldn't go too deep into this in a podcast. Initially, we were going to do this podcast.
I'm just saying, if for some arbitrary reason, we can't. Anyone under the age of 50 can't. But anyway, it's...
Remember when we were going to do this podcast as if we were broadcasting from 1996 and they were lost tapes?
Yeah, I know. That
would be incredibly difficult.
There's no way that would... No, I know. Well, yeah, I'm terrible at it. It would have been too on the nose. Slightly better, but we would have failed. Then the people would just be like we're not talking about, I suppose we'd say at the beginning. Anyway, I like how loosey-goosey our podcast is, and more people are listening to it all the time. So I think other people do as well. But this Ric Flair, anyway, my point is this Ric Flair, I think, genuinely sucks. Like it is genuinely an unfun, uninteresting, awful character in my opinion. It is. Like, whenever he comes out, I don't want to see him. Like, no Ric Flair in ring work is making me go, oh, great, a Ric Flair match.
No, I think I would agree. Do you want to hear, before we get into the episode, do you want to hear what's going on in Meltztown?
Meltztown. Oh, I don't mind that.
Well.
Can we get a, can we somehow like sandwich that into a karaoke version of Allentown? Well, we're living here in Meltzer Town.
I like it. Yes, we can. We can definitely do that. Please.
Now I have to make it. Why do I come up with these ideas? I have to fucking make them, put them in the podcast.
It's good.
Idiot.
It always makes me feel bad when I come up with these ideas. When I come up with ideas and I'm like, oh, I'm just like...
it's fun.
Meltzer loved Bash at the Base. Was it Great American Bash we just did? Yes.
Great American Bash 96, yeah.
Meltzer said it's the best pay-per-view produced in America ever. So that's a pretty big...
Ever. Wow.
Anyway, we'll move on from that. Bruno Sammartino is going to referee 4 WCW house shows. He's going to get paid $2,000 a pop, and he's going to referee your mate Ric Flair versus Randy Savage. That's exciting.
Well, that sounds like a good investment. Why wouldn't you put that on Nitro?
I can't answer that question. I don't have the slightest fucking clue.
That's above my pay grade. I'm sorry.
The bruises on the faces of Sullivan and Benoit on this episode of Nitro were makeup, not actual bruises.
Oh.
It's a good bit of, like, gossip. Does it ruin it for you a little bit?
Yeah.
No.
Because I didn't notice it. Like, when I was watching the episode, that was one of the few things where I was like, oh, Sullivan got his fucking nose busted open pretty hard. And it's kayfabe. I want more of that. I want, like, you know what I mean? The little touches like that that make a difference, you know? Like, compared to, like, just in the WCW world where the giant was pushed off a building, you know, or fell, depending on, you know, whether you're a Hulkster, whether you're a Hulkamaniac or not. But we all know that he got pushed. And the giant shows up 25 minutes later with not a scratch on him.
It's like an episode of it's Blood and Guts.
Start with me about Blood and Guts, man. I legitimately unfollowed every wrestling person I know on the aftermath. Genuinely, I don't want to hear, besides you, I don't want to hear any other person's opinion on wrestling ever again. I hate wrestling fandom. I can't stand it. It's the most negative, toxic fucking thing on the face of the planet. Besides you guys who listen to us.
on the subject of negative, toxic things, Meltzer's reporting that the tentative plan for the August pay-per-view from Sturgis is to have Giant versus Hogan for the title and Flair versus Savage, wait for it, with the women at stake.
Oh, my God. Is that a hog wild? Is that a road wild? Or
It's a hog wild or a road wild. I think they got banned from using hog after the first time.
Why?
Because hog's trademarked, I think. I think the next one's road wild. I think they become road wild from 96 on.
Right. Oh, that's hilarious. Who trademarked hog? Like Harley Davidson or something?
I hope so. I hope it was them.
Ridiculous.
You asked about this last episode. Titan made several legal threats regarding the Hall and Nash stuff, which is why they had to admit on television they didn't work for the WWF. Hall has contacted Henry Holmes. Henry Holmes, who is Hogan's attorney. So, Hulk Hogan's attorney, Henry Holmes. There's a lot of H's there. To try and say that most of the mannerisms he used as Ramon, he first used as the Diamond Stud, and that he came up with the name Razor Ramon. So that's, right. I guess, interesting. Mikey Whipwreck is looking for a job in WCW, apparently. Anyway, I don't remember Mikey Whipwreck from the, you know, rise and fall of WCW.
No, he would have been good in the cruiserweight division, though.
Well, he's great. He's the best, but they'll misuse him, and he'll never make it out of ECW. Over in WWE, WWF, there's only one thing going on, and they've started officially HIV testing people in 1996. So that's good.
What prompted that? With the amount of needle sharing that's going on in, WWF.
My guess is it's 3 years after the Tom Hanks movie Philadelphia, and Vince saw it and was like, hey, we have people bleed all over each other all the time. Maybe we should, you know. That's it.
Isn't it 7 years? It should have been like 2002 where Vince started really getting worried about this HIV virus that he keeps hearing so much about.
I can only speculate.
Maybe that in 2028, all of a sudden, WWE wrestlers are forced to wear masks everywhere and
the crowds are pulled again. It is shocking. Like,
Bad
it is
Bunny.
Genuinely.
Bad Bunny's back on Raw.
It is genuinely shocking that WWE actually responded in a semi-appropriate manner to a pandemic. But anyway, that's a discussion for another day.
Thanks to Kevin Owens.
Yeah, but look, it's still absolutely shocking.
They weren't. That's genuinely the story. I mean, it doesn't take long to tell. They weren't. Kevin Owens was like, this is fucked. Went and spoke to Vince, was like, hey, man, put your fucking politics to one side. We've got kids and wives and shit. Like, pull your head out of your ass. And then this is what was reported on, like, every fucking wrestling website on earth. And then, like, the next taping, people had to wear masks.
Yeah, but, like,
thanks to Kevin Owens.
surely, like, Vince's initial move was to, like, be like, people are scared of, you know, of bacteria. Let's book a spit fight. It's
Imagine. Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't get all that shit, man. But anyway.
What's a big, big talent differential?
What?
The Steiner brothers are, broadly, they're both really talented, and you're like, oh, yeah, they're both good at wrestling. Like, they're different. Scott Steiner's obviously more talented, but it's not like, you know, there's not a gaping chasm. However, there is a gaping chasm between Booker T and his brother Stevie Ray.
Are we finished with Melts and going into episode?
We're way done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Yeah, this whole... I've actually written that down in my notes. This is... Because the match starts with... it's Stevie Ray versus Rick Steiner, right?
Yeah.
And I've written down probably the less talented partner of their respective tag teams gets to have a singles match.
But, I'm into seeing Rick Steiner do stuff. Rick Steiner's good. Stevie Ray is legitimately not good.
He's not great, no. But I think I've seen worse wrestlers than Stevie Ray. But Booker T does a lot of heavy lifting in Harlem Heat.
We can't define things based on I've seen worse. You know, Eva Marie is a worse wrestler than Stevie Ray.
Oh my god, I forgot. Sorry, I forgot about her.
This is all stuff for our episode that we're recording tomorrow.
Yeah. fuck. I've got some opinions, man. I'm going to be coming in hot.
On this episode, Arn Anderson and Chris Benoit as a tag team against, who did they wrestle, sorry?
I've just got to quickly.
I'm setting you up here. Arn Anderson and Chris Benoit wrestled a couple of plucky young men.
The American males. American males. We keep saying every week that this will be the last week that we'll be able to do the theme song, and they keep showing up.
At some point, they're not coming back. There's no reunion tour for the American males. But
I just want to ask one question. Is it legitimately the worst wrestling theme ever?
It would have to be pretty close, wouldn't it?
That's close in WCW right now while we're watching it, and that's the Steiner-Rez! Steiner-Rez!
I really like it.
I think there's other words to it. I think it's meant to be saying you've been Steiner-Rez, but you don't... It's like... It's like Trey Parker from South Park singing it. American Males is legitimately just a dude going American Males for 4 minutes.
What I like about it is that someone put the effort in to record an original song for them. Like, it's not just Muzak. They were like, okay, well, they need a song that's recognizable. And they were like, well, what's their name? But they didn't bother putting in any other kind of effort. Like, they weren't like...
No.
They're big and strong and tough. They're Scotty Riggs and Buff. Like they just started. let's just repeat American Males. It's everything you need to know about them.
It kind of is everything you need to know about them. Really,
they were born in the USA and they've got dicks.
They do look like they're. Remember in the 90s there was that rash of men's stripping groups that were like the Thunder from Down Under was one. There was a really famous one, and
Manpower.
Yeah, was there an American one? What was that Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze sketch where they're both
Chippendales?
Chippendales, that's what I'm thinking of. They're Chippendales, right? That's what the American Males gimmick is.
I have an encyclopedic knowledge of male strippers from the 90s.
I thought you were going to say SNL sketches with Chris Farley in them.
Chris Farley is.
I like Chris Farley.
Of course you do. I like
Adam Sandler. You're more of a highbrow intellectual.
We did watch The Waterboy recently. The Waterboy's all right, man.
Yeah, look, Adam Sandler films are enjoyable to watch.
Well, not all of them, but most of them are.
Jack and Jill is legitimately awful. That's a legitimately awful film. But the majority of the time, it's a solid 5 out of 10. Which one's really bad?
Click.
Oh, yeah, clicks on. Yeah, because like it feels like there's a, like they're trying to, I don't know. It's they're trying too hard to be sincere, and I don't know if Sandler can get away with that.
No, I didn't. I didn't like the Jewel movie, the new one.
Uncut really? Gems. I haven't seen it yet. I'm actually really people looking loved forward it. To seeing it.
People loved it, but
that's
I think
not his film, though. That's him. You know, that's like serious directors going, "Let's get Sandler to do this. He can act."
Yeah. And he can. He's perfectly adequate.
Oh, that's a shame because I really like those guys.
You might like it. People really like it.
Yeah, we should probably stop talking about Adam Sandler movies and talk about the show.
That's for another podcast.
John Tenta is not a fish. You can't call him a fish. And if you do, he'll steal a tiny bit of your beard. And then it'll be a massive feud, one that I'm really enjoying. I'd have to say that John Tenta versus Big Bubba is probably the most enjoyable feud on WCW at the moment.
I don't want to be difficult because you're going to get annoyed when I say this, but sharks are actually fish. He's got a cartilage skeleton, got five gill slits.
Yeah.
He's got pectoral fins.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fish. John Tenta's a fish.
But he's not a fish anymore. Anymore.
I'm sorry. I don't
he
think
was a
you
fish,
can just
but
decide.
Now he's not.
He's a fish.
If John Tenta identifies as not being a fish, if John Tenta identifies as being human, I, for one, think that he's very brave and support his decision.
I've walked myself into a woke trap, and I agree. Absolutely.
Woke trap, woke trap.
Woke
that
trap.
That would be a fantastic, like, new version of Punk'd.
No, you know the theme song is to Love Shack, so it's like, woke trap, baby woke
baby
trap.
Baby woke trap.
As big as a whale.
You just get celebrities in boat traps and then, like, we come out and we're like, we got you, dog. We got you. Like, I knew I was being woke trapped.
And then they get canceled on the internet.
That's my impression of Scarlett Johansson. You guys, I knew it was you guys.
Yeah.
Come back and watch MTV where we've got another episode of Woke Trap.
Oh, we need to talk about wrestling, man. We're so far
there's
from God
right
now.
There's nothing on this
now.
Episode to talk about. Like, Dean Malenko has another great match with Ray.
Yeah.
The Cruiserweights at the moment remind me of, like, reading stories about, like, 70s road bands that just, like, slogged their guts out until people respected them, like Kiss, for example, you know? But it's just, like, they just played and played and played and played, and then eventually people were like, actually, these fucking weirdos from New York are pretty good. I feel like that's what the Cruiserweights are going to be over the next 2 years, where it's just a bunch of, like, people who are like, fuck these guys. And then at the end of the match, they're like, Dean Malenko's my favorite wrestler. Don't you reckon, or do you think I'm being over the top?
No, you're absolutely spot on. It's absolutely spot on. So I have something a little bit, given that you're right, there's not a lot going on here. I have a WCW related thing that sort of changed my life.
Oh, wow.
This week, I started following Lex Luger on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
And
And
Lex Luger just tweets funny videos, and it's the most amazing thing ever. I'll just be like on Twitter, and I'll be like, oh, there's like a kid with like a frog on him, and he like hates having the frog on him. And then like it's like Lex Luger's like just got two cry laughy face emojis. And it's just like, it's just, he just loves funny videos.
He's playing Twitter in the exact vein that it should be played.
Yeah. His Twitter presence is better than his wrestling presence ever was.
That would have been a better gimmick than whatever Lex's gimmick was supposed to be for the 15 years we had to put up with him.
Well, I mean, I guess the version of funny videos on the internet would have been like he came out and he's like, Hey guys, really hoping to get home for funniest home videos now, and just like constantly submitting videos of like children getting hit in the nuts and stuff.
That would be great. There's like a 2-minute segment every week where he's hosting Lex's funniest home videos.
I think that's essentially what Darby Allin's gimmick is.
Yeah, it really is. Well, remember when he did that funny sketch when he did a no-show and then they forced him to do the funny sketch where he was camping out?
See,
so he
this
knows
is where
comedy. Lex knows
someone
comedy.
Needed, yeah, someone needed to like kick a football towards him and it needed to hit him in the nuts. And then like, yeah, then the funny puppet man says a joke and it's great.
Yeah. Talk about a 3 count.
Oh, they're so good.
There's so little content this week, right? Like, I couldn't even do a... this was the week that What If They Come Dressed As died, because Tony and Larry just looked like broadcasters from 1996.
Mm. And Eric's dead.
Eric's dead. This shows how big a difference Kevin and Scott make, because when they're not on this episode is just not. I'm just like, I don't. Because it's all Rick and Macho. It's all, yeah, Rick and Macho centric, and I just checked out.
Macho. Like, this is the only thing I wanted to talk about in this episode. Macho reuses a really bad joke. He refers to him being so it was better last time, because I don't know if you remember this, but like a year ago, Macho was being interviewed by Mean Gene and he says that he'd gone to see a lady psychologist and been diagnosed with OCD, and it just captured my imagination that he'd gone to see a lady psychologist.
Yeah.
And that he felt the need to like let people know. But then he says that he's diagnosed as OCD, one cool dude. And he obviously liked that
cool dude,
much.
Yeah.
He said it on national television
twice. He's
brought
it back.
Like, did he think that was going to be a t-shirt that people were just going to walk around with OCD t-shirts? And also, given the 90s, isn't
it's
it amazing that that wasn't a t-shirt? Like, one
yeah,
cool dude?
True. It would be now. If Macho was on AEW, that t-shirt would already be in pro wrestling tees before he cut the promo.
I have a confession to make about 90s t-shirts. In 1999, right. I was 10 years old.
Oh, God.
And
makes me feel so old.
And I got a t-shirt. I got a t-shirt from Nimbin, and it said FBI female body inspector.
Oh no.
Yep.
Oh no.
I still have it and I still wear it because I'm still a pervert.
Oh man.
I don't really still have that shirt.
I was going to be like, because I just thought you were going to say like, you know, you had a Korn t-shirt. It was going to be some embarrassing band t-shirt. I was like, dude, I had the Pearl Jam Stickman t-shirt for like 3 years. That was like my uniform.
And then you're wearing a t-shirt like, that just said semen on it. But anyway, that is sort of worse than... One of my favorite things in the world is how Pearl Jam have rewritten... They're like, no, it's Eddie's grandma was called Pearl and like she made jam. Like we didn't even know what semen was.
That explanation.
No, I like to think of their deadly series.
I think they're taking the piss, man.
No, I
love the idea of like Pearl Jam being like terrified that it gets out. The Pearl Jam means semen. Oh no! Look, disgusting people might call it that, but the reason why we called it that is that Eddie's nana was her name was Pearl. And we all loved her jam because we lived with Eddie's Nana. Eddie's Nana sounds like a 90s funk band that played in
Eddie's
Melbourne.
Nana is actually a very cool band name. I mean, it's not that cool.
Band name. But then you'd get to the ESPY and you'd see like a horn lineup and you'd be like, oh, no, it's a ska band.
And then they have like a bunch of songs about how you need to work.
Like, no.
All their songs are like, you need to be an individual and you need to, you know, break away from the herd. There's a band called Area 7 that not everyone listening to this is going to know. And they used to drive me fucking mental. Absolutely fucking mental. Because they just did all these songs about how you needed to be an individual. And then they prescribed exactly what it meant to be an individual. And it's like, just happened to be like, wear Vans, wear one of those stupid little flop hats, and listen to Area 7. It's like, that's not being an individual. Yeah, it's being a fuckwit.
That's punk culture full stop, man. That's punk culture full stop.
So stop, do you want
conforming, but make sure you don't listen to fucking Green Day because they're not punk. Okay. Fuck off,
is
man.
That?
Oh, no, is that like a pair of checkered white and black cons? Shit, there's a fucking ska band somewhere. Let's get out of here, boys. That's words to live by, guys. If you see black and white check cons anywhere, you know there's a ska band around the corner and it's time to fuck off.
Take care of yourself, people. Do you have anything else to say about this episode, or do you want to hear what's on?
I really don't. The only thing I've written down, this is how poor this episode is for content, is WCW Magazine asked Matt if there was a magazine that he was fanatical about when he was a kid. Even my notes are like, let's talk about something else. This episode sucks.
Yeah, I had a subscription to Kerrang! Subscription to Kerrang. You were a big TV Kids guy. Oh, well, that's...
No, mine was Anime.
Of course,
I was a Britpop guy.
Yeah.
That carried on for a really long time. Like, I bought Anime for 15 years or something ridiculous. Like, it was the one thing, no matter how broke I was, it was the one thing I had to go and buy every week was Anime. And then eventually, like, the internet came along. And then I also, like, sort of realized that Enemy was shit journalism and they only put the same 15 artists on the front cover. They were, like...
But you still have your collection legitimately, of just hundreds of...
I'd always throw them out. No, I don't. I don't have any of them.
Oh, really?
Because it just became that thing of, like, it became a habit. And I also, like, kind of like how most wrestling fans are now with wrestling. They hate it, but they keep showing up every week. You know, where it's like, and I just kept doing the same, like, and then, like, I don't know, some friends' bands ended up on the front cover of it and I got some trauma. Anyway, you know.
All right.
Then there was, I think it jumped the ship for me with the Antipodean special where they, like, literally did, like, a two-page spread about, like, Cherry Bar and Ding Dong and Pony and stuff. And I was like, these bars fucking suck, man. I mean, it's where I drink. These bars suck. Like, it's not anything to be, you know, you shouldn't be dreaming. You shouldn't be in London. Nah, man, don't be dreaming about coming to Melbourne and going to Ding Dong. Fucking hell.
However.
Talk about a disappointment. Anyway, what's on the other chat? Maybe there's something interesting to talk about with WWF.
Well, there's some stuff. So that you got a King of the Ring quarterfinals. So you got Steve Austin, and we both love a bracket tournament. Steve Austin defeated Savio Vega. This match was the debut of the Stone Cold Stunner.
Hello, you mean the KO Stunner?
I do. That's right. Yes. I've got another King of the Ring quarterfinals. Mark Mero, your mate, defeated Owen Hart, who I quite liked.
That's not good booking in hindsight, is it?
No. No, it's not. No. Hunter Hearst Helmsley fought Aldo Montoya to a no contest when Jerry Lawler, anxious to show off the tactics he planned to use on the Ultimate Warrior at King of the Ring, attacked Aldo before Helmsley made his entrance. And then our main event, Jake Roberts defeated Goldust.
Oh, wow. What a bizarre wrestling match that would have been.
Yeah, and this also included footage of Brian Pillman's WWF contract signing.
Oh, nice. I think I've only done this one other time. I'm going to say WWF.
Well, this is officially the beginning of the 83 weeks. So from now on, basically, WCW is winning until they're not. I don't think WWF don't win again until 1998. But so WCW was 3.4 and Raw was 2.3.
Wow. That's really harsh when you consider the lineups, you know, like, not that I want to be a Vince McMahon apologist, but I think this week he put on a better show than Eric did.
Yeah, he definitely did.
And got beaten by a million people.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking rough.
But also, like, 6 million people were watching wrestling, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
You'd be lucky to get 6 million people a week watching wrestling now. Well, actually, you would just get 6 million people a week watching wrestling.
Mm. So it's surely not 6 million.
Maybe it's the same amount of people, but there's too much content.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe that's the problem. You know, that everyone's like, I'm not watching fucking 7 hours of wrestling, man. I watch SmackDown, you know, and that's it. Or I watch Dynamite and that's it.
Or I watch NWA Power recap shows and that's it.
I don't do that anymore.
You're not going to be drawn?
Nah, man. I'll talk about it more on the weekly podcast, but I've, like, unfollowed every wrestling person on my Twitter, Instagram. I've unfollowed the majority of my YouTube channels. And it's so freeing. It's not just wrestling. Like, I've done it with all of my social media accounts that I've basically unfollowed or unfriended almost everybody I know that who's not an actual friend.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Your feed clears up, you know, like, it's amazing. There's a couple of, like, wrestling news sites that I've kept, but besides that, everyone's gone because I just don't want to hear your bullshit opinion unless you're a friend of mine, you know, like. This goes for wrestlers as well, where it's just constant nonsense, like, buy this or look at my ass, and, you know.
You should consider following Lex Luger. I think that's our takeaway from this episode of Nitro.
That's exactly what I want to hear. I kept Shane Helmsley, the Hurricane, because he's fun. I kept Bret Hart because it's Bret. I couldn't unfollow
and he's
Bret.
Not fun.
But even CM Punk, I unfollowed CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, because they're just humans and they post the same bullshit that everyone else does, and I'm not interested in it.
Well,
do it,
enough.
Guys. If you're listening to this, go through who you're following, because you just, like, if you don't, like, you just accumulate hundreds of people as well. It feels so good. I'm going to write a book about it. I'm going to write a self-help book about, like, how to tidy up your follows or something like that. Declutter your follows for Zen follows, something like that.
It seems like you're going to be struggling for word to reach word count, I reckon, on that one.
Mindful media? Is that something?
Ooh, Zenful media. Definitely. Is that cultural appropriation, though? I just don't want you to get cancelled after you've made this huge life decision.
Yeah, but if I sell thousands of books, who cares?
All right, Hulk Hogan.
I will not give in to cancel culture. I'm with Joe Rogan. I'm switching sides, baby. Fuck it. I'm turning heel.
Thank you for being such an ardent.
I'm in Elon Musk's stable now.
Oh, okay. I'm out. Goodbye, brother friends.
That's not true. They were all jokes. I'm not. I'm a fucking giant woke lefty and my life is pain. Anyway, on that note, that's the end of the episode. You can help us just by telling a friend that we exist. You guys seem to be doing that. That's the call to action. Follow us on socials. And just tell a friend about it. Be like, hey, there's this weird podcast where a couple of, like, weird, funny guys talk about wrestling and it's fun and you should listen to it. Essentially we're down to three shows now. So there's a weekly show where we just talk about, it's like a magazine-style thing where we just talk about whatever comes up. There's our WCW show that you've just listened to and our ECW show, which is out monthly, which is much more manageable for us. And I feel like it's more fun, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we will talk to you soon, brother friends. Pepe is dead.
Remember that one day